into scattered dust. It will have no value for them in the Akhirat. In the Akhirat, a person who dies with kufr or shirk, Allah Ta'ala save us from that, such a person will live eternally in the fire of Jahannam, where he will live in eternal doom and damnation. For him there is no respite from the fire of Jahannam for that kafir, for that mushrik. So Allah Ta'ala's rahmat even encompasses the kuffar in this world, in the form of comforts, in the form of luxuries, in the form of food and drink, in the form of clothing, in the form of the air that they breathe. But in the Akhirat, there is nothing for them whatsoever. So this sifat of rahmat, will inshallah, Allah keep us alive to see the blessed month of Ramadan. We will inshallah experience the spiritual ecstasy of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the coming month of Ramadan. Inshallah, due to the restrictions having been relaxed on the government level too, inshallah we'll have this year our normal i'tikaf as well. So before I forget, when we leave from here, at the back in the lobby, by the staircase, Brother Hanif, inshallah, he's put a few pages there. Those who wish to sit in i'tikaf for the last 10 days of Ramadan. This he will not cater for the first 20 days. If a person wishes to sit, he's welcome, but he will have to then arrange his own food, etc. But the last 10 days, inshallah, you may put your name down with your contact number, and inshallah, you will have the normal i'tikaf for the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. Allah inshallah made that possible for us. There is also a cell phone number written on the page. You may note that number down. If you want to go home and make mashura and then decide, you can dial that number, send your name by SMS with the contact number, and inshallah facilities will be made available for the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, inshallah. We do not know what the future holds. We're talking about the third wave also. If Allah forbid more restrictions come into place, we may not be able to cater for many people. So the people whose names are first on the list, if there is a limit, 50, 70, whatever, those names that come in first, we'll have to give preference to them, and the others will have to excuse ourselves. But hopefully, inshallah, there will be no more restrictions, and as usual, 100 plus, whatever numbers we can cater for, whatever the masjid can accommodate, inshallah, we'll have people in i'tikaf, we'll have our normal programs too. Last year, because of the hard lockdown, we could not have the normal program, but inshallah this year Allah will make it possible. So when you leave, you can put your name down on the paper there, inshallah. So nonetheless, this sifat, attribute of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so dominant that in the Quran to Allah ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my mercy enshrouds everything. Whatever creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the universe, Allah ta'ala's mercy comes upon that creation. Whether it is a kafir, whether it is a mushrik, a mu'min, alhamdulillah, he is all the more deserving. Even the animals, even the insects, they too enjoy the mercy and the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, if a person is destined for eternal doom and damnation, destined for khulud fin nar, to live forever in the fire of Jahannam, Allah save us from that, that person in the Akhirat will obviously be deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why Shaitan, Iblis, a very high intellectual being, he also may put forward in mitigation that I also deserve the mercy of Allah, because Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my rahmat supersedes every single item, every entity. So Iblis could say, am I not an entity? Am I not the creation of Allah Ta'ala? I am also deserving of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala rules out this possibility by saying further, فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ, that I have decreed this mercy for those people who have taqwa, who have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iblis had no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he had fear, if he had enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah ta'ala gave the command to prostrate before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, like the other malaika, the farishtas did, he should have also done so immediately. But because his arrogance, his pride, his haughtiness got the better of him, so he refused to bow down before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is the reason why he was banished forever and excluded from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he did not have that taqwa and that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa can only come if a person has true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why Hazrat Maulan Ashraf Ali Sahib Thani rahmatullah alayh mentioned in one place that Iblis enjoyed three ayns, but he was deprived of the fourth ayn. What are the three ayns he enjoyed? One is alim, ayn for alim. He was a great knowledgeable person, a person of great intellect, so much intelligence that he tried to lead many, many prominent awliya astray, but Allah Ta'ala saved them. He was unsuccessful. When Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh, to try and reject the belief of a mu'min with regard to the existence of Allah, he continued to put forward arguments. I make it permissible for you. So he was about to take that goblet when suddenly struck him that when the Nabi of Allah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the choicest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest creation of Allah ta'ala, when Allah ta'ala did not make permissible for him the usage of gold utensils, at la hawla wa la, Iblis still made an effort to lead him astray. He called out to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi that it is so many people that have made go astray at this juncture, but you have been saved, and you have saved yourself by virtue of your knowledge. So he also, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi, thought to himself that he also, Iblis is trying to trap me, he's trying to create pride within me that my knowledge has saved me. So he replied immediately, it is not my knowledge that has saved me, it is merely the fadl, the grace, the kindness and the mercy of Allah that has saved me at this juncture. So Iblis was unable to overpower him. In this way Allah Ta'ala shows his rahmat, his mercy upon his servants in order to save them from the trappings, from the trickery of Iblis and his army and his henchmen. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah Ta'ala mentions Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that Allah Ta'ala is most compassionate, most merciful. Yet Allah Ta'ala brings to our attention his attribute of mercy. Surah Fatiha itself is a unique chapter and surah of the Quran. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi in his kitab Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran has written that there are approximately 25 names of Surah Al-Fatiha. The most popular name is Surah Al-Fatiha. Fatiha means to open something. Because it is the opening chapter of the Quran, it is known as Surah Al-Fatiha. But there are many, many other names as well of the surah: Umm al-Quran, Umm al-Kitab, Fatihatul Kitab, Fatihatul Quran, Suratul Hamd, Suratul Dua, Suratul Shifa, many, many other names. So one name we could say also Suratul Rahmah, the Surah of Rahmat. Allah Ta'ala speaks about His mercy, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful. The root letters of both words, these are known as sifate, these are known as sigha of mubalagha, where Allah Ta'ala emphasizes about the enormity of His mercy. So Rahman and Rahim, two attributes of Allah Ta'ala are mentioned, and you recite these two attributes in every rakat of every salah when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Rahman has more letters. Ra, Ha, Mim, Alif and Noon, five letters. Rahim has four letters. Raha, Ya, and Mi. And there's a principle in Arabic grammar, the ziyadatul mabna tadullu ala ziyadatul ma'na. That the more letters there are in a word, the more broader the meaning is. So because Rahman is five letters, Rahim has four letters, there is a broader meaning in the attribute of Rahman. In what sense? In the sense that Allah Ta'ala's this attribute of mercy contained within Rahman is not reserved only for the mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala shows His mercy upon, as I mentioned, besides the mu'mineen, even upon the kuffar, even upon the mushrikeen in this world, in this dunya. Whereas Allah Ta'ala's attribute of Rahim, these are special mercies. These are reserved only for the mu'mineen, not for the kuffar, not for the mushrikeen. This is attribute reserved specifically, exclusively for the mu'mineen. So in that sense, Rahman has a broader meaning. That sifat of rahmat is not restricted to the mu'mineen, but it also encompasses kuffar, mushrikeen as well. On the other hand, ar-Rahim is reserved strictly, exclusively for the mu'mineen. Another reason why Rahman has a broader meaning, this attribute of Rahman, rahmat, mercy contained therein, it is manifested in this world and in the akhirat, in both places. Where the sifat of Rahim, Allah is reserved only for the akhirat. So in that sense also, Rahman has a broader context and a broader meaning. So Rahim has been reserved for the akhirat. And it is truly mind-boggling that on the day of Qiyamah, how the sifat of Rahim, mercy, will be manifested. It comes in one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that of the 100 portions of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of the 100% mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has only manifested 1% in this world. And 99% He has reserved for the akhirat. That's why we say Rahmanul Dunya wal Akhirah. But we say only Rahimul Akhirah. That Rahim sifat reserved for the akhirat. So just 1% in this world, and that 1% we see evident in the compassion that the mother shows for a child, parents show for their children, even in the animal world. In one hadith, Nabi Sallam says, sometimes the young one, the horse, female horse, has just given birth, it crawls under the body of the mother. The mother lifts its leg out of fear that perhaps it will trample its young one. So even animals show compassion, mercy for the young ones. In the human species as well, parents show mercy, compassion for their children. Elders show compassion for the young ones, and we ought to show compassion. Otherwise, Nabi Sallam warns also in a hadith that laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana wa lam yuqir kabirana, aw kama qala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And those people are not of my creed, of my following, who do not show mercy and compassion on the young ones, and who do not respect the elders. So mercy we show upon our young ones as well. So in this world, this 1% of Allah Ta'ala's mercy makes itself manifest in these various forms. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem Sallam was seated, his grandson, still very young, a toddler, Hassan bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He came running to Nabi Kareem Sallam. Nabi Kareem Sallam hugged him. Nabi Sallam kissed him. A Bedouin, Aqra bin Habis Tamimi radiallahu ta'ala, had come to visit Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was shocked to see that Nabi Sallam kissing a little child. So he said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that inna li asharatam min al-walad, ma nuqabbilu ahadam minhum, that I have 10 children. Till today, I have not kissed a single one of my children. So on that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then replied that Man lam yarham la yurham. That the person who does not show mercy upon others, Allah will not show mercy upon them. On another occasion, also some Bedouins came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kissing his grandchildren, Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in kissing their children. So he was surprised. He said to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that tuqabbiluna subyanakum, that do you people kiss your children? We do not kiss our children. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then remarked that amliku in kana Allah naza'a min qalbika rahmah. Is it my fault that Allah Ta'ala has removed that element of mercy and compassion from your heart? In other words, it is your own fault. You do not have a soft spot for your little ones, for the children. So Allah Ta'ala removes that quality, element of mercy and compassion from your hearts. So in this way, that 1% of mercy makes itself manifest in this world. People even show mercy to animals. Allah Ta'ala rewards them also for it. The famous hadith where a prostitute came upon a thirsty dog who could obviously not go into the well to take out water. The lady was thirsty. She was a prostitute. There was no rope and bucket, but the wall of the well was made in such a way there were grooves in there. She could use it like the rungs of a ladder. She went down into the well and she drank some water. When she came up, she noticed the dog licking at the moisture around the well. And she thought to herself that this dog also is experiencing thirst like I had experienced, but it is unable to take out the water. She went back down that makeshift ladder into the well, and she filled her shoe or her stocking with some water, and she brought it up and gave it to the dog to drink. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, on this kind and compassionate gesture, Allah Ta'ala forgave that woman. Allah Ta'ala blessed her with iman and forgave her for the past. Just because of showing mercy to a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous story, some say, refers to Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi, some say Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, be that it may. The main thing is the moral behind the story. This buzrug was sitting in the wee hours of the night, and he was busy writing hadith a park. Someone saw this in a dream after he passed away. He asked the scholar, how did it go with you? He replied, Allah Ta'ala forgave me. The reason, he provided this reason, that in the darkness of the night, with an oil lamp, I was busy writing hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In those days, we did not have these ball points like we use today. People used to carve a pen out of a piece of wood or stick and make the edge sharp, make it into a nib. Even today, the calligraphers, they use these type of columns for the calligraphy. So using this type of pens, it does not have a permanent refill or cartridge in there. When they need to write, they dip it into the ink pot, write a bit. When it dries up, they dip it again, they write further. So in this muhaddith, this scholar, when he dipped that pen into the ink pot, because of the moisture of the ink there, he heard the buzzing sound of a fly. A fly came close, it sat on the edge of the nib in order to drink from the ink. It was thirsty. So he thought to himself that this fly is thirsty. If I make a sudden movement, it will go away. It will not be able to quench it first. So he remained absolutely still until that fly could quench its thirst, and then he continued to write. So in the dream, he tells the person conversing with him in the dream that because of this kind gesture, when this fly sat on the edge of the nub, the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallam came to mind that Ar-Rahimun Yarhamuhum Rahman Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Irhamu Man Fil Ard يرحمكم من في السماء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام that those who show mercy and compassion for one another, the being that has control over the heavens will show mercy unto them. So then, Nabi Sallam exhorts that irhamu man fil ard, show mercy to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will show mercy upon you. So by this kind gesture, he allowed that fly to quench its thirst. A very trivial act seemingly, but done with sincerity, Allah ta'ala used that as a means to draw the fadl, the grace of Allah. Allah ta'ala forgave that person. Many of us, especially elderly people, were fortunate to have met the great wali of Allah, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullahi of Jalalabad. On one occasion, people used to refer to him, fondly as Hazrat Ji. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, when he was on one of his trips to South Africa, and the host organized a separate room for Hazrat Ji to relax in, to sleep. So the bed was made up for him, everything was there for his comfort. And the host opened the door, let Hazrat Ji go into the room, and he went to his place in the house wherever he needed to rest. When later, when they went into the bedroom, Ya Rahmatullah slept on the floor. So they were quite taken aback by surprise. They said to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah, we arrange a comfortable bed for you. Why did you sleep on the floor? So he replied, when I went into the room, I saw the cat of the household fast asleep on the bed. I did not wish to disturb the sleep of the cat. I allowed the cat to sleep on, so it could relax, be comfortable, and I slept on the floor. So look at this. Mercy and compassion for even the cat, for a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nonetheless, that 1% of mercy from 100 portions of Allah Ta'ala's mercy makes itself manifest in this world. Allah Ta'ala has reserved 99% of that mercy for the akhirat, which will take place in amazing ways. For instance, we read in one hadith that the last person that will be taken out of Jahannam, this is the barakat of Iman. That as long as a person died with Iman, he is not destined to eternal damn and damnation, not destined to eternal doom and damnation in the fire of Jahannam. Even if he had a spark of Iman, eventually he will come out of Jahannam and go into Jannat. This also will be by virtue of the intercession of none other than the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the last person will come out of Jahannam and he will be brought close to the doors of Jannat, Allah will want to enter him into Jannat. He will stop at the door. He will hear the sound of people laughing, rejoicing in Jannat. So many sounds of laughter, merrymaking, happiness, rejoicing. So he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say to Allah ta'ala that perhaps Jannat is already full. All the space has been taken up. There is no space left for me. Allah will tell him, you listen to me, you enter Jannat. So he will enter Jannat. Then Allah ta'ala will tell him that you thought Jannat is full already. Whereas, inna laka mithla dunya. Allah ta'ala will tell him, you'll get so much space and property in Jannat equivalent to the size of the entire planet Earth. In another version of the riwayat of the narration, goes on to say, that wa asharat amthalihi, not only the size of this world, but 10 times the size of the world, you will enjoy in Jannat. Imagine the lowest ranking person going to Jannat, getting space equivalent to 10 times the size of planet Earth. So you can well imagine the higher ranking people, what luxuries they will enjoy in Jannat. Allah Ta'ala inshallah bless us all with Jannat. That is why the Quran says that when people are going to Jannat, لا يبغون عنها حولا, They will never ever want to come out of Jannat. Like I mentioned somewhere the other day, that it begs the question, in the world, it is human nature, if you are confined to one space, you become bored, you become frustrated, you want to come out of there. Yet people will live eternally in Jannat. They will never become bored. They will want to come out of Jannat. So it begs the question, what is the reason for that? Yet people become frustrated. Last year, especially during the hard lockdown, people became bored, frustrated, restricted within their properties, within their homes. And because of that lockdown frustration, people did weird things, things that you regard to be something insane. But because of boredom they did this. For example, there was an article of a person who was regular with his exercise, he used to go out jogging, running, but because of lockdown, he could not go out on the streets, into the parks. So he jogged in his yard, around his house, and he clocked 50 kilometers, just running around his home. Another person in a flat apartment, he had no yard. So he began jogging around his bed, in the bedroom, and he clocked up 5 kilometers like that. So people out of boredom will do things like that. So in Jannat you will live forever, but you will never become bored. Why? If you have property the size 10 times the planet Earth, you've got so many places to go to. How can you become bored? How can you become frustrated? All the luxuries that you wish, by mental telepathy, you think of water, you hear the sound, soothing sound of a stream. Imam Razi rahmatullah writes that you will feel the urge to drink some water. The stream is flowing in the opposite direction. It will change course and flow in your direction. Very easily, you will be able to scoop up water and drink the water. You feel to eat a pomegranate, out of thin air, a pomegranate tree will appear, as if you are controlling everything with your mind, mental telepathy. In the world, the scientists speak about artificial intelligence, which is very, very in its infancy. But in Jannat, even the lowest ranking person will control the luxuries of Jannat with his mind, with thoughts of the mind. When he thinks of that pomegranate, that tree will appear, very easily will pluck the pomegranate, it will open upon its own, the sweetest pomegranate that he ever tasted. And in this world, when he tastes something sweet, the delicacy, the taste, the sweetness is only up to the point of time when it is on the tongue. We have our taste buds. When it goes down the gullet, it is removed through the digestive system, then a person has no enjoyment. Whereas the fruit of Jannat will be such that every tissue and fiber of a person's body will enjoy the sweetness and the delicacy and the delicious nature of that food and that fruit in Jahannam. Every bite that the person takes will be more delicious than the previous bite. So Allah Ta'ala has reserved that 99 portions of His mercy for the Akhirat. That look at the lowest ranking person going to Jannat. In the world we fight for this amount of land, a hand span of land. There, the lowest ranking person will have land 10 times the size of planet Earth. It comes in one hadith, just to show how Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will become manifest. There are 2 people in Jahannam. They went into Jahannam because of committing sins, but they had the spark of Iman. They will begin to scream in Jahannam. Allah will tell the farishtas, bring these 2 people out. Allah knows everything, but Allah Ta'ala wishes to hear from their lips. They will come out. Allah will ask them, why were you screaming? They will say, we are being punished, tortured in Jahannam. We cannot bear it any longer. So he screamed, hoping for your mercy. So Allah Ta'ala will say that the consequence of my mercy is that I command you to go back into Jahannam, to jump into Jahannam. One of them will go sprinting and jump into Jahannam. But this time, that fire of Jahannam will become cool and comfortable for you. Like it became Barda wa Salaman ala wa Salaman ala Ibrahim, upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. It will become cool and comfortable for this person. Allah Ta'ala knows what is in the house, what is in the hearts of men. That person probably thought to himself, or will think to himself, that in the world, every step of my way, I disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least on this one occasion, let me obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has commanded me to go into Jahannam. So he jumps into Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala makes the fire become cool for him, comfortable for him. Allah Ta'ala then questions the other person, why did you not obey my command? Why did you not go into Jahannam? He will reply that, oh Allah, I have heard your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that once you take a person out of Jahannam, you will not return him into Jahannam. For that reason, I believe that you will not send me back into Jahannam. That's why I remain rooted to the spot. Allah will become pleased with both of them. You will take out that other person too, that ran sprinting into Jahannam. Take them both out and send them to Jannat. And the hadith says, فَيَدْخُلَانْ بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ. Both of them will enter Jannat with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this way, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, 99% of that mercy, in these various forms, will make itself manifest in the Akhirat. So we are indeed fortunate, many of our fellow Muslim brethren, friends, acquaintances, who were with us the last Ramadan, they are no longer here. They went to the mercy of Allah. Allah fill their qubur with nur, make it gardens of Jannat for them. Allah Ta'ala forgive them every hair of their body. Allah Ta'ala show His mercy and grace upon them and grant them, inshallah, Jannatul Firdaus. We are fortunate. Allah Ta'ala gave us respite. One more year of life. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make us live to see the blessed month of Ramadan and to value the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. Because it is, after all, only the mercy and the grace and the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will take us towards salvation, towards success, eternal bliss and happiness in the Akhirat. It is not our achievement, it is not our amal that will take us. That is why on one occasion when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned this fact, and he said that لَا يُدْخِلَ أَحَدَكُمْ أَمَلُهُ الْجَنَّةَ, that no person's amal will take him into Jannat. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum was surprised to hear this. They said to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that even your amal will not take you into Jannat. Nabi Sallam replied, لَا إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِمَنِّهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ وَفَضْلٍ. أو كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.